Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of the UK Tech Weekly Podcast, a tale told by four idiots full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Good morrow, gentle listener, and welcome to this newly discovered folio edition of the UK Tech Weekly Podcast, the UK's least weather-appropriate weekly tech podcast, squirming into your ear once a week like those worm things off of Star Trek. The UK Tech Weekly Podcast is an infotainment mugging from the editors of PC Advisor, Techworld, Macworld UK, Computerworld UK, and now Digital Arts. Every Friday, we sign up to an audio Lonely Hearts service, go for a series of awkward audio dinners with increasingly unsuitable audio dates, finally get our audio hopes up that we've met that special audio someone, only to give up and move in with 25 audio cats, in order to bring you no more than 40 minutes of informed chat on the hot tech topics of the past 7 days. Don't forget to subscribe, review, and tell your friends. I'm David Price, acting editor of Macworld UK, and today I am delighted to be joined in discussion by the one and only Scott Carey, online editor at Techworld.
Hi.
One in a million, Mimi Launder, staff writer at Digital Arts.
Hello.
And one in a raffle, Christopher Manassian, staff writer on PC Advisor and Macworld.
Pikachu!
This week we are talking corporate buyouts, graphical blowouts, and social media idiots getting kicked out. Let's chat. Scott Carey, someone's made an acquisition, and I bet it cost them an arm and a leg.
Oh, no.
What's the story?
That was a very highbrow intro, actually.
Did you like that?
Yeah, we had a very nerdy intro last week with Lord of the Rings, so I'm enjoying the upbrow.
Upbrow, highbrow. I think you do normally say highbrow.
Yeah, I already said that.
Shakespeare anyway. Was very much the... UK Tech Weekly podcast of his day.
So good.
I thought it was a nice shout out.
Not to ruin your joke, ARM, ARM Technologies.
Do we normally say ARM then?
No, I'm going to call them ARM.
That's good.
Were purchased this week. They're a huge technology company based out of Cambridge here in the UK. They were bought by a Japanese company called SoftBank. The price tag was quite eye-popping. It was $24 billion.
Is that a good price for it? Is that a bargain?
It's way over what they closed at. So I think that put their valuation up by $7 billion overnight. So it definitely looked over the odds. But what a lot of commentators are saying is that with Brexit, it is a discount because of the weakened pound.
Yeah.
So there is definitely
paying
a case.
Fewer yen.
Yeah, there's a case now for companies to purchase British companies at a cut price. So there are a lot of people that are saying that it could be quite an opportunistic purchase from SoftBank. The reaction from their investors has been extremely negative. SoftBank's investors are really annoyed about the acquisition. They don't think it's a good one. And the company is in quite a lot of debt. So ARM will feasibly be paying off quite a lot of that debt in the acquisition.
So it's going to be like the Man United buyout, where they end up in debt despite having been bought.
Absolutely. Analysts are quite down on it as well, for similar reasons. And even the CEO of ARM himself is down on the purchase. He said it was a sad day for UK technology, but he said it was unavoidable in the circumstances because the offer was basically too good to refuse. It was a godfather offer.
Let's go back to be a bit more basic for a start.
Let's start with what Arm does.
Who are Arm and what do they do?
Yeah, so Business Insider described Arm in 2011 as the biggest tech company you've never heard of, and they sort of remain that way. There's one thing that the media have been getting wrong is what they say Arm does. Arm do not make microchips. They basically design the architecture of microchips and then license those designs out to companies who then build them. And they get a royalty every single time that microchip design gets used in an item. And the reason that Arm is so successful is because their microchips are in the iPhone. So every single time an iPhone gets sold, Arm gets a royalty because it's based on their microchip architecture.
Yeah.
They specialize very much in low power, high processing items. So they're very strong in the smartphone market. You'll find some sort of Arm designed chip in 90% of smartphones. They're also really strong on IoT, so smart devices, wearables, and driverless cars, drones, anything like that will have some sort of Arm design in it.
So the listeners at home, the chances are that they will have a device or devices containing Arm's design.
Extremely, extremely high chance that they've come in contact with Arm technology at some point.
Okay, so they're going to be asking, how is this going to affect them? Is anything going to change?
No. So basically, SoftBank have said that the jobs are going to remain in the UK. They're only going to expand Arm in the UK, so Cambridge should be fine, which is good for the government. They're basically going to leave the business model alone, they've said. The only thing is that they may take some money out to service debt, but actually they're not going to change the way the business is run. They're not changing any of the executives. They're not cutting staff. So the company's still going to run, and they're probably, if anything, going to build it up. SoftBank bought a French robotics company a few years ago, and that company has gone from strength to strength since. So they've got a good track record.
So it sounds like a decent deal.
Why
is it a sad day then?
I think it's a sad day because he felt his hand forced to sell, and it's always a sad day when someone has to sell a company that they've built from the ground up. But he's definitely got some sort of mixed feelings on it. I'm not entirely clear why yet. And the other thing about Arm that is quite interesting is that apparently there's a few analysts saying that there is no, sometimes with these acquisitions, until they get signed off, other companies can come in and counterbid. And what will happen often is there'll be a clause in the original bid from SoftBank, which won't allow a company to come in because it'll be too pricey to break that initial agreement. But apparently this contract doesn't have one in it. And Apple have been highly rumoured to be in the market for Arm.
Is this one of these Apple rumours?
Yeah.
Is this a real rumour?
You love Apple rumours, though.
Well, I do, but they're nearly always claptrap, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, Apple buying Arm makes a ton of sense, apart from the price tag.
Could they then stop Arm designs being used in Samsung phones?
I think they would have to deal with some monopoly questions there.
Yeah.
But they would have a huge advantage of having that capability in-house. There's also a ton... All the companies that you expect have been linked with Arm as well. Qualcomm, big chip designers as well, manufacturers. Google have been linked because of their Android devices. And basically anyone that makes a smartphone has been linked with maybe making a bid for Arm.
So it could be a bit of a bidding war.
So there could be. Time will tell. That would be really fun to watch. To see if Apple or Google could bring that in-house and then what the consequences on other smartphone makers would be because they're so reliant on these Arm technologies.
Well, let's talk about this politically.
Mm.
We haven't discussed Brexit a huge amount on the podcast, but coming so soon after Brexit, this looks simultaneously good and bad, if you see what I mean. It sort of depends how they're going to spin it. Philip Hammond has said that this is a sign that he's the finance minister. He said that this is a sign that British firms have a perception of quality that the international community thinks British firms can prosper.
Mm.
Yet at the same time, there's an element of the weakness of the pound.
Yep.
British firms are now sort of sitting duck for acquisitions.
Yeah.
Is this a net positive or a net negative for Britain and the British tech industry?
I definitely think it definitely shows that tech companies in this country might be generally they hit a glass ceiling. So there tends to be this perception that we can build really good tech companies up to a certain point, but then we can't seem to build the next Facebook, Google, Apple, anyone of that size. They yeah. tend to get acquired before they get to that point.
But the odd thing with Arm is that in a lot of ways it has got to that point, is that people haven't heard of it, sure, but it is utterly dominant.
It's huge, but it's not as big a company in terms of revenue as you'd think. They made $489 million in revenue last year. It's not a huge amount. Their biggest yeah. rival is Intel, who are the behemoths of the microchip market, who made $35 billion in sales last year. Right. So it's that...
Not really the same yeah. kettle of fish.
No, and it's different business models. Obviously, Intel sell everything, so they get way more of a chunk of the cash when it comes to selling a microchip, because they'll design it and then sell it. Whereas Arm are only getting these royalties. But that's the business model that they operate under.
That does, I mean, the business model, the unusual business model is maybe relevant actually in this in this area, because they don't have to buy in the materials.
Nope.
So because they're just designing. Which means that the weak pound doesn't affect their import economics. Is this gonna be the first of many, then? Are there going to be other British companies on the table? Is this something that's limited to tech? Will there be... I don't know that Wolves, the football club Wolves, have just been bought out by Chinese...
I thought you were going to be like the Wolves circling.
Yeah, maybe. Or British Wolves are now available for purchase on other countries.
Yeah, on Birmingham City as well, being bid for.
I don't understand football. I just,
oh, yeah, of course.
I was just pretending. I thought I'd drop that in. Wolves have to wander.
No, I mean, definitely it shows that there's a possibility here that people will start thinking that there is a discount market for British companies that they may be able to come in and buy. I don't know nearly enough about it to know yeah. who's under threat, whether tech is more under threat than most, but tech is sort of the hot industry at the moment. So,
yeah. Yeah. And from Theresa May's point of view, our new Prime Minister, it's sort of an odd one. There's a slight question mark over her husband's involvement in an investment firm that I think has benefited. And we don't want to suggest in any way any kind of impropriety, of course, if the lawyers are listening. But it sort of, as I said, it looks bad in a lot of ways. After she specifically said she was going to protect British companies from foreign takeovers, and that was something she's against, and this follows on so quickly.
Yeah, she was very, very high on the deal.
She was high on the deal?
Yeah, she was very positive about
£200 million profit for her husband high on the deal.
Well, you know, if she's going to say she's protecting companies from outside investment or outside acquisitions, but then is very positive about the first big one that comes through, there's got to be some question marks there.
I guess the element may be that she wants to bring in regulations to give the government powers over these takeovers,
and
they haven't yet come into effect.
So. Yeah, and every acquisition is different, and this one definitely looks quite good for the UK in terms of the company actually not going anywhere and maybe even growing. So economically, it's going to stay in this country.
That's good. We're pleased. Let's go around the table. I'd like to hear what Chris and Mimi have to say about this, actually, because I'm sure you've been following along, excited. Let's say, is it a shot in the arm? That's the good one. Or £24 billion, that's very nearly an armful.
Brilliant. Hancock. Cost an arm and a leg. Could have gone.
No, I've already
actually made that.
So the second one's the bad one.
Okay, sure.
Mimi.
Well, both alternatives have puns, so I was gonna go for the most punny.
You're not supposed to base it on that. Or you can just say neither.
I'm gonna go with neither.
Okay, it's neither good nor bad. Thank you, Mimi. Christopher.
I think it's a good thing, but I honestly... You have to say the thing.
It's a shot in the arm, and you have to say arm in a painfully... Shot in the arm.
Yeah. We're our third host now, and the hosts are always really protective about answering this question in the way that they set it out. Well, there's a distinct format.
This is my first time as hosting, so I want to make sure everybody follows the rules.
Okay, sure. Yeah, actually, the David Price podcast is a rules-based podcast.
I don't want to get a reputation for laxity. No messing around.
Just roll the dice.
So what are you saying, Scott?
Yeah, I think it's a shot in the arm.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, then we will have a short gap. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about graphics cards. Christopher Manassians, I would like to talk to you about graphics cards. But for the benefit of our less tech-savvy listeners, it would probably be better if you pretend that I'm an idiot who doesn't know anything about them. So, in words of one syllable or fewer, can you explain what's going on in the world of graphics thingies that you put in your PC thingy?
I like how you used that line.
That was an in-joke, by the way. Yeah, that was good.
So graphic thingies. So yes, there's graphics cards that have been recently announced from NVIDIA, which is, well, they're one of the biggest companies in the world for producing graphics cards, at least for computer systems, be it laptops or desktop PCs. In this respect, it's a desktop graphics card called the GTX 1060. And the reason why it's quite interesting is because it's competing with AMD, which is its competitor, which also makes graphics cards, and their RX 480. Now, the reason why this is interesting is because they're both budget cards, and this makes it very much affordable for people to be gaming at full HD, so 1080p, or even pushing the limits of, I'd like to say, QHD, which is 2.5K. I don't want to say 2K because people might get angry. So that's
one. Do people get angry about things like that?
They do. They get quite picky because it's not a cinema standard to say 2K.
So when we say budget, what are we talking about?
So budget means £239 for the base model of the 1060. Where in comparison, to give you an idea of the 1070 and the 1080, which is also in NVIDIA's line, they cost upwards of £400. So this is very much a more affordable solution for everyone. So
do all graphics cards have names like supercars?
I wish they had like more like, I don't know, like Lamborghini names. That'd be fantastic.
Right, yeah, rather than just Lamborghinis, RX 1000.
Yeah.
Lamborghinis are all named after bullfighting things.
That's true.
Types of bull and stuff like that. Fact. Interesting.
I thought if they call it...
What's one of those?
Like Miura. That was the name. And there's one Lamborghini which is named after the bull that killed, was it Manolet? One of the most famous bullfighters of the 20th century. I think that was quite nice. He, you know, got killed by it, and then they named a car after the bull itself.
After the bull, not the bullfighter.
No, not after the car.
Yeah, it's a nice gesture.
Lovely. Sorry, I'm getting you off track.
Anyway. That's fine. I'll just think of the couldn't
Let's talk about what the GTX 1060 can do.
Yep.
What are its tech features? What are its new features?
So I'm not going to go into the specs because...
Oh, no, please do.
I don't want to do that.
I want to know how many CUDA cores it's got.
Oh, good man. Good man. He knows his CUDA cores.
Oh, yes.
1,280, in case you're interested. The most interesting specs is the fact that it's got 6 gigabytes of VRAM, which means it can run 1080p very easily, and it can also run, as I said, 2.5K. It might be a little bit of a stretch, but it can also run it with that 6 gigabyte VRAM. VRAM, by the way, is when a lot of textures and details are being pushed to the graphics cards in a PC, then it has to compute it, and the way it computes it and the way it transfers it to the RAM. Again, I don't want to get too technical, but that's the way...
you can see my eyes glazing over.
Oh, if only the listener could see.
I'm trying to think in like gaming terms, what would that mean? Would that mean like a really like rich world RPG would have to have this sort of sort of graphics card?
So I think Shadows of Mordor, Lord of the Rings, that still takes up a lot of VRAM, depending on the resolution. So 1080p takes less VRAM. If you go up to 4K, then you're going to be eating up, say, 8 gigabytes of VRAM, potentially if you're running on 2-3 different monitors as well.
Sure.
So the more monitors, the bigger the resolution, the more VRAM it uses. So the reason it's interesting is because, again, it's a budget card and it has 6 gigabyte VRAM. 2 years ago or 3 years ago, there was a 780 Ti, which was the top end line of NVIDIA's cards, and that came with 6 gigabyte VRAM. So nowadays we've progressed so far in within 2 years or 3 years that we've already got 6 gigabyte VRAM model graphics cards in very much budget graphics cards. Hopefully that makes sense.
Mm. Yeah. And is this going to have any effect on lower end games? You've got sort of, because we always talk about these games that are specifically very high end. Yeah. The Crysis, going back a few years. But most... Would it be fair to say most people don't play games like that all the time? Will they see improvements?
Absolutely. So for someone like me who plays Counter-Strike, that could be literally, you can run that on a potato, as far as I'm aware.
I don't even know what that means. Was that a joke? Was that jargon? It could literally be either.
It could be an acronym.
It's a PC joke. That's
brilliant. Okay.
If you can run it on a potato, that means you can run it on basically anything, even a crappy laptop. But even as a Counter-Strike player where graphics are not important, you can run it at a higher frames per second. And again, why does that matter? Then if you're a competitive gamer, the higher frames per second, the easier it's going to be for you actually playing the game, and you can see your enemies faster than they can see you.
because it appears to be a competitive advantage.
Yeah, exactly.
But that wouldn't be fair, though, would it, if one person was on that and the other wasn't?
Well, that's the thing. So the better your monitor, the better your mouse, the better your keyboard, the better experience you're going to have, and the better, the biggest advantage you're going to have in the battlefield.
Good.
It's quite hard because then you've got server-related things, network-related issues that you can talk about.
A lot more to think about than just putting a PlayStation game in.
Yeah.
This is absolutely why PC gaming is not brilliant.
Anyway, what's your favourite graphics card, Mimi?
Probably the graphics card one.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a winner.
I like, yeah,
you like the potato.
Yeah, the potato.
The potato TI. Yeah.
This is actually this is actually related to a more serious point, which is that sitting around this table, I think I get the impression only one of us
knows anything.
Kind of, well, not just knows anything, but sort of cares about graphics cards generally. I mean, are you on the fence, Scott?
Do
you
no, I want mine built into a console, so I don't have to worry about it.
Or think about it, yeah. Or I'll be aware it exists. Yeah.
So, this is remaining a niche concern, isn't it?
Well, you say that, but people do buy pre-built systems, and right. In that respect, it still does bring down the price of pre-built systems. Okay. Because if the base cost is $239 for someone who's buying a card, then a company that's building a PC.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You will obviously have to charge less because the card naturally costs less. So if you're buying a pre-built PC because you can't be bothered to build a PC or you don't have any time to do it, then it's going to naturally cost you less. So if you want to transition from PlayStation or Xbox or even Wii into PC gaming, then it's going to be a much more affordable solution and much easier to do. You could even buy a PC without a graphics card and then buy this card as an upgrade because you're like, oh, I was doing Microsoft Office, but now I want to get into, I don't know, playing Battlefield 1 on the PC versus on the console, and now I can do because I've got I only have to spend £230, £240.
I'm pleased I've got that option.
Yeah.
Let's talk VR.
Yeah.
This is, because it's Pascal architecture, then people are going to be thinking this is potentially a VR enabler. Yep. Is this a spark VR needs to go mainstream?
Well, that's a good question. That was the question that was asked with the AMD RX 480, which is its direct competitor, because it was the first affordable solution for VR. So the RX 480 was like, well, you can now run VR for under £200. As in under £200 for just a graphics card, let alone the rest of the system. And the same thing applies with the GTX 1060. So yes, it's bringing more VR systems into the world, and people actually thinking about VR can now afford it for a much cheaper price. But again, let's not forget that if you want to run VR, HTC Vive costs upwards of 600 something odd quid. And for someone who's going to be investing that much money on a HTC Vive, my guess is they don't want a mediocre performance. They want a fantastic performance. And in that case, they're going to buy a GTX 1080 or GTX 1070, which costs a lot more money.
Would you say this is mediocre? How does it compare to last year's equivalent?
Well, it's more the fact, when I say mediocre, it's in terms of the, so that when the frames per second is one of the biggest things when it comes to PC gaming, so the higher frames per second, the better, the GTX 1060 won't be able to output as high as a 1070 and 1080. VR, I would say last year was, I'll say out of the question, but it didn't really exist. You got the Oculus Rift. That didn't, I mean, it's taken off, but it's not taken off in the same way as the HTC has, when it comes to gaming. So in that respect, it's very hard to compare it to last gen models. Yes, it does better than last gen cards, even the top end cards of last year, but still, you have to bear in mind that if someone's going to be buying VR, they're going to have to be shelling out a minimum of, as I said, 600 quid for the HTC Vive, put that on with a PC, even with the 1060, you're looking at upwards of £1,000.
Yikes.
For a VR compatible PC.
Well, let's assume that somebody that's listening has been persuaded by that. Should they get, first of all, should they get the Founders Edition, mm-hmm. or should they wait for a partner card? Let's say, what's the difference between the Founders Edition and the Partners Card?
So this is the thing I haven't quite understood, but it's mainly something that I don't really recommend to buy a Founders Edition card, simply because it's a reference card with a reference blower, and it hasn't got any optimizations on it. So, and it's more expensive.
I understood some of those words.
Okay. So, it's basically got one fan to cool the whole graphics card versus...
One fan to roll them all.
More, yeah.
You're better than that.
That was a good one. But yeah, it's literally, it makes no sense to buy the Founders Edition. At least in my eyes, as a gamer, it makes no sense. You get better performance at a cheaper price.
Well, in theory, it's cheaper price, isn't it, to get a partner card? So the partner card is made by a different company, according to similar specs.
Yep.
But what I've, and again, I'm not an expert, but what I understand is that previously, NVIDIA partner cards have ended up being as expensive, or even occasionally more expensive than the Founders Edition, because partner companies, they use the Founders Edition as a sort of market test force, and they go, well, people are willing to pay that much, therefore we'll charge exactly as much, maybe more, because it has better performance. But this time around, NVIDIA are making noises about that being stopped from happening, but I don't really understand how they're going
to... Well, the reason... Well, just to give you an idea, the Founders Edition for the 1060 cost $279.
Right.
It was launched at $239. And there's partner cards which are already at $229.
Okay, so we already have demonstrations that the partner cards will be cheaper.
Yeah.
That are already cheaper.
Yeah, and they're out already for pre-order through UK.
Let's go and buy them. Let's all rush out now.
Let's go.
Which would you get then? Would you go for the 1060 or would you go for the GTX 480?
Well,
did I get that right? No, that was
RX 480.
RX 480.
For the AMD. Personally, I would prefer NVIDIA's cards. I'm not biased on either side. I use actually both cards on a daily basis. At work, I use an AMD. At home, I use NVIDIA.
That's quite unusual, isn't it? Don't people normally pick a team?
Yeah, they do. But I mean, I didn't really have a choice at work. But,
but that was a little sly dig.
No, but I mean, quite honestly, it's the cards in terms of performance, they're very similar to each other. It really comes down to the features that you're going to be looking for. And in my case, I like game recording. So I would like to capture a game recording. And Shadow Play, NVIDIA Shadow Play is fantastic for that. So that's why I would choose NVIDIA over AMD. And if it comes to which one would you choose, the 1060, 1070, or the 1080, or the RX 480, RX 470, RX 460.
It's very complicated.
There's so many numbers. It all comes down to what you personally game on and what you personally use. So if you're going to use it on a single 1080p full HD monitor, the lowest end graphics card will do absolutely fine. If you're going to be running 4K gaming or VR, then go for a higher end model.
Brilliant. There you go. You've heard it from the horse's mouth. Let's go around the room. And I want you to say either GT excellent. That's good.
That's good.
Or GTX rated. Mimi Launder.
GTX, definitely.
And what was it particularly
there,
liked about
there are almost too many reasons to go into, David. You wouldn't have time.
What if I pressed you to pick one of the reasons?
Well, something like Chris said it was cheap, which
that's good.
That's a good thing.
I like that.
So I'm always sold.
That's good enough
on
for me.
Cheapness.
Christopher, I think I know what you're going to say, but
GTX and MTS. Yes, yes.
What was that?
I don't know.
What was that?
I was stroking my cat and like yeah, kind of, but I kind of failed.
That's Mr. Burns, wasn't it?
Does he say excellent?
Yeah. Excellent. Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Okay, well, I'll let you have that. Scott?
I'll go with Chris on this one. GT, excellent.
Do I get a vote on these things? I've never done this before, so I'm going to say GTX rated just
because it's fun to say.
What's your reasoning?
that bit. Oh, she's well, I worry that you won't get the same performance as you would on the 1070.
Big worry.
Because, you know, what I want is QHD gaming. So,
it's a good window into how being a journalist works.
I think we're going to draw a veil over that one. After a short gap, we're going to talk about, what shall I say, flaming hoons on the internet. If you want to know what they are, keep on listening. Mimi Launder, as our in-house expert on vicious personal abuse, please tell us... Please tell us who has been awful on the internet this week and what's being done about it.
Vicious personal abuse is a favourite topic of mine, so thanks.
I think everybody likes it.
It's just great. I think it can be really summed up as Milo, what's his surname?
Yiannopoulos.
Milo Yiannopoulos is a bit...
Have I just given away the secret that I also know a little bit about?
He is kind of known by one name, isn't he? He's famous enough to just be Milo.
Yeah, it is just Milo, yeah. Well, there aren't many competing Milos.
He's picked an unusual name. Yes. Well, that was quite canny.
Like Moby did.
Yeah. That's not his real name. He's not really called Moby.
Yeah, I know, but still. Like...
It's because his ancestor wrote Moby Dick. Anyway,
so how do you know this?
I'm being a right sort of fact guy today. One of his surname is Melville. One of his ancestors was Herman Melville. What wrote Moby Dick? Anyway, right. let's get back to Milo Yiannopoulos.
Okay, so Milo Yiannopoulos, who is the editor of Breitbart, which is a vehemently right wing publication, I would say.
They're lovely people.
Friendly and open. Leslie Jones, who was recently in Ghostbusters, or is going to be in Ghostbusters.
Oh, no, it's out now.
Yeah.
Has done really well. She's got this amazing part, has gone through all these barriers to get where she is. And instead of being kind of submerged in praise on Twitter, she has been essentially drowned in abuse. And it's not just the occasional comment from some mentalist. It's
so the first time we've had the word mentalist.
Oh, I love the word mentalist.
I will bring in lots of new stuff today. It seems overwhelming. It's probably essentially what she gets when she goes on Twitter. She just sees loads of abuse.
But this has been this hasn't been consistent over several months, has it? This has been one sort of orchestrated.
That's what it seems like.
Campaign
is a word. It seems kind of terrifyingly organised. And
Milo is involved in this?
Yes.
How?
He, from what I understand, he's essentially encouraging his followers to tweet her.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sort of a grey area, isn't it, morally?
It is.
Whether he's responsible for that.
It is. We do know, though, that he has a history of Twitter abuse to an extent in the past.
What's he said? What's he done?
I would need to look that up.
No, yeah, he's been known to use it as like a bullying tool, basically, for people that don't agree with his views. He like drowns them out in abuse.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's a lovely guy. Yeah.
But to me, I mean, I have relatively few followers, but I get the impression that Twitter generally is quite an abusive place.
Mm.
I'm sort of interested to hear what your experiences are. Before Mimi steps in at the last minute, this was going to be a complete sausage fest of a podcast with only white men. And so I'd like to hear what you have to say about being on Twitter as a woman.
Yeah.
And being on our websites as a woman as well, what your comments are like.
Well, on Twitter, I have followers in the low hundreds, so I
haven't your
really...
approach to Twitter is one of my favourite. We've discussed this before. Mimi never, she'll pick, a topical area, but then it will never be at anyone, it will never be a hashtag, there will never be any caps or anything. It will just be statements And then that's it. It's out in the world.
That's good.
It's great.
What's wrong with that?
And it always, like, there must be some algorithmic reason why I always see them. I always, like, they're always there at the top of my feed, even though you tweet, like, once a week. Just never miss one.
Well, in the compliments, I think what Scott is saying, that I don't know anything about Twitter.
And that was a bit of a backhanded...
within the wonderful compliments. Yeah, yeah, so... As a woman, I haven't actually experienced that much, anything really, to do with being a woman or as a journalist. But you do see it quite regularly. And it's that whole argument about free speech, essentially, which is yeah. understandable. Yeah. And it's obviously something that Milo cares a lot about.
Well, he says he cares about it, but he spends quite a lot of his time...
drowning out other people's words.
Yeah, shutting people
which
down.
Is essentially what he's done to her. So he's taken away her free speech because she's felt completely drowned in abuse and has left Twitter.
Oh, so she,
yeah,
so
I was
going
to say, did she leave Twitter? Because it tends Twitter. To be the response when you get that level of abuse. It's the only thing you can do, mm-hmm. which is awful.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of people have said, well... It's that odd thing where the victim often gets blamed more. Well, she'd retweeted the abuse, she responded to it, therefore she was encouraging it, which is firstly just crazy.
That's rubbish. But it's rubbish. There is no real, like, tried and tested response to trolls.
No.
Some people say don't feed the troll. Some people say
that doesn't seem to work.
Some people say like out them publicly. That doesn't seem to work. Basically, there isn't a solution.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really know what she could have done. No, and I don't really
apart
see...
apart from just leave for yeah. a minute and let it all die down.
And what's the problem with standing up for herself? And also, the more she stands up for herself, the more it's publicised.
Yeah.
And the more it becomes an issue, which is a great thing.
And it becomes her life. Like, it's too much. Like, if you've got that level of, like, if you've got to stand up for yourself to that extent, then what else? Like, you haven't got time to do anything else.
No, exactly. It must become overwhelming. And I think Twitter's response to... ban Milo was a good one.
So he's out as well.
Yeah, he got banned.
So she's out, he's out.
Yep.
She left, he got banned.
Yep.
Okay.
I was going to say that should have happened because it's basically cyberbullying, if you think
yeah.
about it.
Yeah, it is.
It's, and that's, no matter how you look at it in terms of freedom of speech, it's not right. No matter how.
Yeah.
No matter if you're a school kid.
Mm. This is a part of being at school that wasn't around. When I was young, I was suddenly aware that I'm 10 years older than everybody else here. But yeah, kids growing up now, they get abuse on Facebook and Twitter and all the rest of it. And it's this horrible extra dimension of an extra avenue of attack that you feel like you were safe when you're just on the computer at home and now you're not.
And probably worse because you can kind of hide behind these profiles and it's not really you, it feels like it's not you doing it. It's almost anonymous.
Yeah.
So there was quite a lot of bullying on MSN Messenger when I was a kid.
Yeah, I experienced that.
Well, the equivalent probably for my generation was people writing on a bus stop, David Price is a willy. Which I feel like I suffered just as much.
Yeah.
Stayed with you all these years. Yeah.
I made that up, by the way. That wasn't real. Do you think banning, what are we going to call him, Milo or Nero? Nero is his handle.
Mm.
Do you think that they've done the right thing banning him?
Yeah, I think they have. And I it's tricky. They can't ban every single, in any way, abusive person on Twitter. I'm not sure that's doable. But Milo...
They'd lose a lot.
There are a lot of them, unfortunately.
That might be the issue, though, is that...
Yeah.
Are they trying to
though,
protect?
As such a kind of, I don't know, a prominent... like an event, an example of abuse, and as such a prominent writer, I feel it's a good statement. Yeah, he's a symbol.
Let's take a stand.
Yep, exactly.
But the question here is, why did it take this long? Why did it take somebody who is, she's a movie star, a movie star getting attacked, a movie star with famous friends getting attacked. That's what's induced them to act.
Yeah.
And there are just thousands and thousands of people suffering just as bad abuse and have been for years, and it's taken this to make Twitter act.
Yeah, it's such a problem. And it's kind of, I'm glad they banned him, but because it's a good message to other black women, but at the same time, there are loads of women and black women and loads of other people who are getting abused on Twitter.
It dates back to Gamergate as well, doesn't it? I mean, the amount of that a lot of that was Twitter based abuse, wasn't it?
So. Well, he hijacked, or what's the word? He piggybacked Gamergate.
Yeah.
Having in the past previously heavily abused gamers and took the mickey out of them and was never a gamer himself.
No.
But then when he realised Gamergate was connected to right-wing abuse of women and black people and gay people. Then he jumped on board, and suddenly he was the king of Gamergate.
He was a tech journalist before, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He
said he was fixing tech journalism.
Not all tech journalists. Hashtag.
He is just a ridiculous man.
Yeah, the only other problem I've got with this is completely counterintuitive to the activity that I'm doing at this exact moment, is that him getting banned has given him loads of publicity, which he's absolutely loving.
I'm not sure we would be talking
about him right now if it wasn't for him getting banned from Twitter.
I guess Twitter is his platform. It's one of his main platforms. And he needs that to do what he does. But I kind of agree. He's going to be
tearing out his hair. He'll claim this as a victory. He'll spin this as a victory. Of course, he was always going to do that, whatever happened.
Yeah.
But he's just lost one of his main mouthpieces, and it's sort of hilarious.
Will he go down the Glenn Beck route now, though, and just build his own platform, now that he's got an established followership of his own?
He should have a radio station. That's the sort of level he's at. Talk
or a
radio.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Or a podcast. I don't know what you're implying there.
that we are
abusers and objectionable political bigots. Anyway, we're almost running out of time. So let's go around the room. And I've got Holding Out for a Nero. That's his handle, you remember?
Yeah.
Holding
so is
out
that positive?
Yeah, yes. Well, that's sort of suggesting that he's
a hero?
Yeah, that, you know, you want him to come back.
Oh, I'm looking forward to someone going down that.
Holding out for Holding out, you don't have to.
No.
Pick it. Holding out for a Nero, or we don't need another Nero. Maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, it's the same pun, both of them, really. So,
yeah.
It's a tough decision, but I think I'm going to have to go with we don't need another Nero.
Right.
Wait, is that the negative one?
Yeah, that's saying that we don't. Yeah.
We don't need another.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we make a Roman joke? About Nero burning things.
Fiddling while Rome burn.
Yeah.
No time.
No.
No time. I think you just did, anyway.
Yeah. I set it up, but didn't.
Well, you gave it away in the setup, which is excellent work.
Yeah, that's how I do my jokes.
Yeah. Christopher Manassians.
We don't need a Nero.
That was sung as well. That was better. Scott.
Yeah, we don't need another Nero.
I agree. We don't need another Nero. And
good riddance.
And we're going to stop there. It is time to wrap things up. So thank you to Scott, Christopher and Mimi for your thoughts. And thank you at home for listening to them. Do get in touch to let us know your thoughts and opinions and to shake us down for cash. Or indeed, if you are interested in advertising on the UK Tech Weekly podcast, you can tweet us using the handle at UK Tech Podcast or email us using the address editor@idg.co.uk. Do find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and all the other places from which you source podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe, comment, like, favourite, or give any other cheap emotional support to us that you can. We'll be back next week with more informed opinion on the hottest topics in tech. Until then, say goodbye, guys.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.